We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Carl Anaus, and with me today, it's Reality Check Master, Tiffany Meeks.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing good. Listen, Tiff really came through clutch today. Listen, I had other plans that totally did not happen, and you know, I know I can count on Tiff. truly the MVP. I sent the scared text at like 6:30. It was very meek, right, Tiff? It was scared.
It was, but I got you.
True homie Hall of Fame moment for Tiff. Alf said nobody wants TG mooting around, nodding around awkwardly. We need an intro. Yes, officer. I explained to Tiff the situation. Word to John Crotty. Listen, we move. I wanted to give people the day off today. That didn't happen, but we're here. We have tons to talk about. Tiff.
Yeah.
I'll close with you because I think out of everybody, you have the most level-headed, big perspective, big picture kind of takes here at Heat Beat. So. We talked on Hangover Time last week. We're going to get into Duncan and Kyle, but I want to start with Miami's late game offense. Mm-hmm. And Siobhan and I would kind of get into that. I'm like, you know what? They're fine. I'm not like concerned. And Siobhan's like, well, I mean, they're blowing a lot of leads. Like, we should be a little concerned. So I kind of want to ask you, like, what your gauge is. We're almost a quarter of the way into the season about how they look in close games.
Right. So I was kind of wanting to hold off on this until like game 20, which is the Bulls actually. So very interesting enough. But it's funny because I also kind of fooled myself last season and during the off season because I for some reason thought if they get a point guard, a pure point guard who can actually run the offense, we wouldn't have these late game kerfuffles, if you will. But It's happening more frequent than not. So to me, I guess if something happens more than three times, it's a trend. And that's pretty much where we are at this point. It's becoming a trend. So either they're blowing the leads and losing the game, or they're blowing the leads and now we're putting extra miles on the starters because we need them to play, you know, the entire fourth quarter, whereas they would be sitting if we could maintain the leads.
So I think there's something interesting that Cooper Moorhead tweeted out the day of the Wizards game, the loss. He said Heat clutch offenses. So in the 2019-2020 season, they're the 23rd ranked clutch offense. In the 2020 through 2021 season, they were the 30th ranked clutch offense, and then this season they're the 29th ranked clutch offense. The only real difference was the playoff run where they were the first ranked clutch offense. So that's that's kind of interesting. I do think that a lot of that, Tiff, stems from just they've been a bad half court team, right? Like they've been hovering around 14 to 15. I think they've improved a little bit lately, but you know, I think for the most part, I don't trust them in the half court. Part of that is right. I think they lack some shooting. They have really done great, you know, in the rebounding department, especially offensive rebounding. Right. That's kind of dipped off a little bit. I think Deadman's playing time decreasing a little bit as well, kind of hurts lately. So I think for the most part, this kind of stems down to their half court offense. And it's just like you, like what you said about trend. I mean, it's been a 3-year trend with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really sure what they can do, you know, it's just kind of who they are.
I think for this season, I think one of the things that stands out to me is that maybe they don't know yet where they want to go. The thing about it is that, like, in the past, we only had Jimmy. Realistically, we only had Jimmy. So we knew, you know, in the crunch time, like, who's getting the ball? Like, we know that. We know it's Jimmy. We knew he was getting the ball. But you've got Tyler, who stepped into his own season. You've got Bam, and you've got Kyle. So I think maybe, as Jimmy said, we need to grow up.
For those of you who are watching on stream, Ryan says, if you balance your cameras and look toward each other, I'd buy you in the same room. Tiff and I have a very similar lighting vibe going on right now. Yours looks a lot more personal. As Leif said, mine looks like a Miami dentist's office in North Miami. So,
but yeah, so I think maybe, you know, there may be a little struggle with that as to, instead of riding a hot hand, maybe, you know, oh, we need to go to Jimmy, or there could be some push and pull there, and they haven't quite figured it out, which is fine, because at some point, you know, the strongest finds its way to the top, which meaning, you know, I look for it to honestly be Jimmy or Tyler who pretty much be running that offense in the crunch time. But I'm a little bit baffled as to how they're running the offense, because if you're taking good shots and you're missing them, you're just missing them. But the fact of how they're running the offense, sometimes they're not getting a good shot off. Sometimes the ball's going through people's legs. We're throwing the ball out of bounds. So that to me is a little bit more worrisome than the missed shots in the clutch.
Do you think it's more like a they're being kind of klutzy and they're new to each other kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, they're as good as they look together in large spurts of the game. They don't know each other yet. It's only been 19 games. So we still have to be realistic on the fact that, like, while we see like Bam and Kyle have like great chemistry, it should get better.
I think they kind of go away from Bam too, kind of down the stretch.
They do. The problem is that they go away from Bam, but also Bam makes himself small. So I see where you want the guards to give him the ball, but you also want the guards to see that he wants the ball. So he also has to do a better job of getting himself in the right positions when it's 3 minutes or less in the game.
So the Mad Heat fan tweeted out some stats today about clutch usage. Shout out to the pool party. Jimmy, 40% usage. Hero, 24% usage. This is all in the clutch. Lowry. Mm-hmm. Almost 20% and Bam at 19%. So Jimmy is just soaking up all those possessions, right? And Bam and Lowry are really getting squeezed out. I think Tyler, I don't think he wanted any higher than 24 as well as he's playing. So I think, you know, it's like super Jimmy or bust, which has kind of been the trend of them, you know, since he's gotten here, which I think that a diversification of that, right, kind of piggybacking what you said, having a real point guard to kind of organize you a little bit. They're a little short on shooting, so I understand that Jimmy kind of has to have the ball late, because if you have one of them off ball, well, I mean, I think you could put Jimmy off ball. You can count on him to be a smart cutter and stuff like that. But, you know, I understand him being on the ball. But with Kyle not shooting well,
right,
that's the other kind of part of this equation. So you basically have three dudes at the end of games who just can't hit a three.
Right.
So.
But I also think that, like, we already knew that. Like, nothing's changed with Jimmy, right? His three-point shot, that it's pretty much what it is.
He's actually been better this season, I think. He's
it is.
Yeah.
But it's, come on, it's not, you know, we're not talking about it, which means it's pretty much what it is.
Exactly.
Bam's not taking them, and then Kyle's not hitting them. So a lot of this also needs to fall on the coaching. If you've got three guys that aren't going to shoot it or hit it, then you've got to be more creative in the play calling, or literally Tyler's usage is going to go up in the fourth.
So because this is,
I don't go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go.
No, I was going to say, cause I don't see any other way of this working out.
So Kyle is shooting about 31% from three, which would be the lowest percentage he's ever shot as like a real NBA player, right? I guess in Houston, he, you know, in the Memphis days and those early Houston days, there wasn't a ton. And then I think one of those Houston years, he shot 27%. And then basically after that, it's been 37, 37, 36, 38, you know, mm-hmm. so on and so forth. So I do think that, you know, by the way, shout out to chat today. Mm-hmm. You know, Alf gifted a tier one sub, Elite XBL. Subscribe for 11th month. I can live V again or vegan. I can live whatever. I can live again. I'm sorry. Reading is fundamental. Subscribe to tier one. You guys are fan freaking tastic. But I think you gotta, and I know that this may sound like kind of reductive, but you just kind of gotta let these dudes figure it out. Like, you gotta let Kyle figure it out. You gotta let Duncan figure it out. Like, they're good. They're freaking good, smart basketball players. And then there's not a lot of precedent for dudes being really, really good shooters and getting open shots and like not hitting them anymore.
Miami Heat basketball is finally back, and there's no need to exhaust yourself searching all over the internet to find Miami Heat tickets anymore. Because TickPick, that's TickPick, is the original no-fee ticket site and the only one you ever need as your go-to for all NBA tickets. TickPick got rid of all those awful service fees that the other ticket sites charge, which lets them guarantee the best prices on all their NBA tickets. Don't believe it? If you can find better prices for the same seats on another ticket site, TickPick will give you 110% of the difference in the purchase price. Which, I mean, at this point, if you haven't bought your ticket to see the rematch of the Jokic Brothers live at home at the FTX Arena, time is running out. Just visit TickPick.com/HeatBeat today to save $10 on your first order of Miami Heat tickets. Once again, that's TickPick.com/HeatBeat to save $10 today on your first order of Miami Heat tickets.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right. I also just think,
whoa,
what's going on here?
What's happening, guys? Like, you guys sound so depressed. Like, you guys sound so down about this. They're 11-6.
They're good.
Like, they're really good.
I'm answering the questions that I'm being asked.
Like, I understand, but it's like, you guys sound, you're like, oh, I don't know what's gonna happen.
It's like NPR. It's like NPR radio.
Oh my god, you guys are like, oh, Kyle Lowry. I don't know.
I know.
I mean, here's the other side of it is, Alf, like, everything isn't cotton candy and rainbows. You do have to also be objective in the conversation. We can be objective.
They do struggle late game situations. They went, to me, the last game, they went away from Tyler Hero too soon. Like, 6 minutes left, Tyler Hero's having a decent game. He has shown you over and over that he loves these moments. You didn't get the ball to him at all. Like, they went to that heavy, heavy, heavy Jimmy ISO shit, and it's really predictable, right? So they'll figure that shit out. But to me, it's like, what are we hand-wringing about? Because the game, we're talking about them blowing leads. They're the best point differential in the East, the third best in the NBA. They're not blowing that many leads.
That's true.
Normally, when they get a lead, they put their foot on somebody's neck and just keep that lead and ride that shit out. They'd have the best point differential in the league. They just got blown out a couple times, right?
They've been blown out once. No, I guess twice, the Denver game.
They got blown out twice. Yeah. And that, if not for that, they'd have the second best point differential in the league. So they are not blowing a lot of leads. And then when they've blown leads, it's like furious comebacks, like crazy outlier bullshit from teams at home. And we know home teams do this shit from time to time. And now, yes, you would like for them to withstand that force from a home team. And they've done it a number of times this year where they withstand that comeback. And that, you know, they 18-point lead gets cut to six and they end up winning by 14. They've done it. But, like, there are sometimes, listen, Spencer Dinwiddie hitting step backs on you. You know what I mean? Like, you was beating the dog shit out the Wizards, and all of a sudden, everybody on the Wizards, KCP out here looking like Steph. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are you going to do? Like, the offense in those situations bothers me. So when you say, let's keep it real, let's have perspective, let's be honest. The offense in those situations bothers
me. Well, that's what bothers me. The defense, I always feel like, is going to be fine. They'll figure out those holes. Yes. They'll figure out the rotation and all of those things. The offense is a problem. Whether they score 120 or they score 85, the offense is a problem.
But is it – so my question is, the offense is weirdly one of the best in the league right now. Not to have
it's one
of the best offenses in the league.
It's better than Chicago.
And the two guys that they depend, two of their best three-point shooters, two of their top three, I would say,
yes,
have been dog shit from three compared to their career averages. Happens when those two start shooting 38% to 41% from three.
Just average.
But that's the thing, though. This is why we're having this nuanced conversation, because what if they do, and then what if they don't? That's why we're having like this. Okay, so what happens next?
I'm way less worried about Duncan than I am about Kyle. I think Kyle could be like, maybe Kyle has like a down year for shooting. Duncan, he's too, what precedent do we have of a dude being that fucking good and then being this fucking bad?
I have a question, because you've watched more Kyle Lowry than I ever did in my life. And I recently
turn off this TV before we get
and meanwhile, I was like watching it over his shoulder.
I didn't even notice. I was very mesmerizing with his energy. I mean, we were down in the dumps. What were you gonna say, Jeff?
So I literally, after like game five, I started like watching like clips, because I never really watched him in Toronto. Like I would watch the game, but I didn't really watch him. So here's my thing. What I don't understand is that, like, I didn't realize, I thought he was a better shooter. And he's having a down year, but even his shot selection doesn't look great to me. So it's, you've been watching him for years. Is he pressing, or is this,
this is what he
is this an ebb and flow with him?
That's how he shoots. That's like, those are the looks that he takes. He has a quick trigger. He when he sees a little daylight, he's a heat check guy too. Like sometimes he'll try to shoot himself out of a funk. I think with him more than
anything. Turn back on.
You came back and it was on, and I was like, okay.
I went and turned on my bed.
You look like you angled the TV.
Like, I do it normally because the light comes in. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, like he, you know, I said coming into the year, I was like, listen, he's a very up and down guy. If we get 35% out of him, I take that. If you were to ask me at the beginning of the season, hey, would you take 35% for three out of Kyle? I take that. I mean, he shot 39% last year. You know what I mean? He shot 40% the title year. So, you know, he's up and down, but, you know, I think he's defended like a good shooter, because still, like, it's not like Andre or like they were just like leaving his ass, right? Like they still care about him as a shooter. So it doesn't bother me as much if he's not like hitting a ton, because I think the spacing matters more. You just got to hit some, you know what I mean?
I feel I feel like he's always been a streaky guy.
Yeah.
Where he'll go on like a 2-week stretch where he's ridiculous, or a 2-game stretch where he's ridiculous, and a 3-game stretch where he can't hit the broadside of a building. Like, that's just who he is. But to me, like what you just said is really important. They respect him as a shooter. They respect Duncan as a shooter. So to me, these guys just have to be willing shooters and take open shots. Like, to me, that's more important than anything, because long term, I always look at it like this. Will the process eventually play out? Will like Tony says, will water find its level, Ewick? You know, like, what would bother me more is if Kyle and Duncan, like, and even if because PJ is going to get cold, y'all.
But think about it. Because like I said to Siobhan in the chat before the season, I said, yo, if we can get 9 points and 5 rebounds out of PJ, coupled with his defense, that's good. Who knew we were going to be getting this?
Our hub.
But see, so right now what he's doing
47% from three.
He's making up for how bad Kyle and Duncan have been. So eventually he's going to regress, right? And what your hope is, over the course of careers, guys find their averages. And if they find their averages, those two will more than make up for the loss of PJ production. So to me, what I watch for more is, like, when I'm watching a game and they're shooting a ton of threes, out of rhythm. They're working their ass off to get Duncan open, and Duncan's missing. That's what I hate. I can't stand that. But if guys are just stepping into rhythm threes and missing them, but they're shooting them and they're shooting them willingly, I'm okay with that. Because the averages always work themselves out over the course of a full season. So, like, to me, I'm looking at what kind of shots are they getting. Is Kyle missing step back threes with two guys on him on some Kobe shit? No, he's missing good shots that he should be taking. Kyle Lowry shots. Duncan is. There were some games where he was pressing and they were forcing the ball to him. I'm fine if he's shooting and he's missing in the flow of the game, because eventually that shit will work itself out. Like, their offense is good despite these guys not even hitting threes.
I think it's simple, but it's not simple for Duncan. Duncan has to realize that, like, his shots won't come at the same time as they've came the last two seasons. They're not going to come at the same time. They're not coming at the same time. So he's got to mentally change his mindset, because you're not the number one option anymore. You're not the number two option. So it's hard when you're accustomed to game starts and within the first 5 minutes, you've already got five shots up.
Yep.
He's not, but that's not happening now.
And that's why we have to, good job, G.
That one even lasted a little longer, I feel.
I was actually listening to Tim. But to me, that's one of the issues with Duncan, and I don't think people talk about it enough. Like, his role has completely changed, right? Because we get mad when they run the offense for him, which was his old role. But if you're not running the offense for him and he's completely out of his element, you have to give him time. And honestly, he hasn't been that bad. Like, right. we have to get up off of him a little bit. He hasn't been, like, he's not like 21% from three. Like,
you know what it is? 30? It's just magnified with losses. Like,
yes.
when he's two for whatever and they win, it's,
but
you
didn't
know,
he leave the game in like the third quarter on Saturday or something?
He did. He left.
So why? So are we still blaming Duncan for the fourth quarter meltdown? Because I feel like every time they lose, Duncan's to blame. Duncan wasn't in there for the meltdown.
No,
Duncan was out there while you was whooping their ass.
Right. Like I said to G, I just think that they don't know who they want to go to in the clutch. For me personally, Jimmy can do Jimmy things, but if it's a clutch moment, you need an all three level scorer shooting the ball. You need a guy who can hit the three, who can hit the mid range, who can get to the basket, and who can make free throws. And most of the time, that's not Jimmy. That's Tyler.
Kind of.
Listen, he's the only player you got who can do all those things.
He's also
on
not
offense.
Scared.
He's not afraid to take that shot. I really think it should, if he's hot, you roll with him.
He's not hot.
Exactly.
I don't care. Like, honestly, I've told you guys, listen, I get a lot of heat for the shit talking I was doing about Tyler. I've come around on Tyler a lot. And part of it is because I believe in his role this year. And his role this year is to not have a conscience. Like, I remember I got in an argument with Siobhan one game because Tyler pulled up on a three on the break. And, oh, I don't want him taking that shot. No, I want Tyler taking every fucking shot. I want him so overly confident. I want him cocky as shit because, for real, like, you don't really even – he has no other responsibilities. And when he's playing that way, everything else comes naturally to him. He starts playmaking for other guys – because that's not his primary role. Right. He starts playmaking because it's in the flow of what he does. I'm being Tyler. I'm being a bucket. Boom, right. Here's a little pass. I'm gonna sprinkle this here, sprinkle this there. Like, I want him to be selfish. I want him to be unconscious. I don't want him to have any – I want him to just worry about scoring and worry about Tyler Hero. That's when he's at his best to me. And that's the kind of guy, late in the fourth quarter – give him the ball because he don't care what the coverages are. He's not worried where the double team is coming from. And if he's in that mode, he is going to make the smart play for the most part.
Charles Barkley used to say every title team needs a crazy dude. Tyler has to be like their crazy dude. Like they have overpassers, right? Like Jimmy, Kyle, and Bam overpass. Tyler's a finisher. He's not going to pass out of the basket for better or for worse. So I think he kind of really he balances them a bit. I mean, Tyler's shooting 36% in the clutch. Not good. You know, obviously you want that up a little bit, but I don't really think any of this is on him either. I think it's pretty issues.
How much clutch have they really played though?
They've played I'll tell you right now. It's not a lot, but you know, while I get that information for you, like I think the important thing for them is they just suck against switches. And late in game, they've played about 35 minutes of clutch time, 36 minutes.
It's a very small sample size.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a small sample size, but the reality is they just have – they
24 minutes, excuse me. They played 24
minutes.
They
just go from being very smart players, and this is every game. They go from being very smart to very dumb very quickly.
And you know what happens when they get dumb? It's because they're overthinking.
And overpassing.
They have overpassing. I feel like that's a result of overthinking.
They have legitimate issues, like, Alf, against switches. They have legit problems.
And that's because they overthink or they overthink.
They don't have dudes that can beat guys off the dribble outside of Jimmy. I think when you put a little bit of size on Tyler, and that's not Tyler's fault, it gets a little more difficult for him, right? And I think you look at, okay, well, Jimmy is our best guy, like, to be able to, like, play against bigger guys or smaller guys. But then, you know, we've kind of seen how that plays out. Kyle is not beating dudes off the dribble anymore. I think, you know, we talked about that in Hangover Time last show. That part of his game is just not really there unless he gets a big guy. So, you know, you really just have and it happens on the other end too, because, like, teams just look for Tyler or Duncan. And it's not their fault. It's just, you know, whether you're in a drop or you're switching defense, like, they're just going to find you, right? Like, these bigger, like, Bradley Beal, LeBron, like, these power guys are going to, like, where is the small guy? And I'm going to eat, right? Jimmy does the same. So
I know we're not calling Duncan a small guy. So,
I mean, he's a skinny.
I will say his defense has been tremendous lately. Like, on that, we killing him, but, like, his defense has been really, really good. So,
I thought the Wizards game, it was as bad a defensive game he's played, but that's really, like,
I didn't see that. Are you talking about just the last one?
Yeah, last one.
This last game was,
because the game before that, I mean, he was standing up dudes in the post.
Nah, he was
going
good
for steals. Like,
he works hard.
Yeah, he was. I mean,
but I know, when you put him on an island, though, like, that's you know what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, they played 4 games in 6 nights. We have to also think about that as well. Like, it was,
but
for
we
sure.
We also know, like, they're not the best defenders. Like, we know this. Like, nothing's changed. So that's up to, like, at some point, too, that's up to the other guys. You know who you're on the floor with. You know if Bradley Beal is hunting out Tyler or Duncan.
Stop switching.
You know, right. Like,
don't switch.
But then you get those dudes in a drop, and you know what I mean? So, like, now you really, which I don't, I'm not saying that there's a right. It's fucking Schmeichel, Smolnik, Kyle Lowry's boots, Raymond Felton. Not that there's a right or wrong answer, but, like, if you put those guys in drop anyway, like, it's, you're still going to get, the other team's going to get the result they want regardless. So I think a switch simplifies it a little bit, but I get what you're saying.
But they also have not been playing a lot of Duncan and Tyler in crunch time.
No, it's
usually it's kind of a moot point.
You can't.
And that wasn't the situation on Saturday.
No, and that was specifically, like, Beal's, like, where's Tyler's man, and then they get the switch, and then PJ would be on Spencer, and he had to come help, and then that's how that swing would happen.
That's
and
what
also,
this is going to be.
Then they were hitting step back threes.
No, for sure.
Yeah. It was... But even if they weren't, this is, like, I've kind of, at that point, I've kind of just bypassed that because, listen, you need Tyler on the court in the crunch, right? So you got to deal with whatever happens on the defensive end. And that's when everybody needs, it's got to be all hands on deck. Everybody's got to be ready. If you think that blow by is coming, that next man needs to be there stepping up. Like, that's just what it is. Like, you can't have him and Duncan on the bench. Somebody's got to be able to shoot.
To me, if a guy like Bradley Beal gets ISO'd on Tyler, you got to sell out. You got to sell out and rush Beal. But then the problem is guys like KCP and Dinwiddie were just hitting threes on your ass. Yeah. So it's like, what do you do? You know,
and it's not like PJ wasn't coming out and contesting, right? Like they were
hitting everything.
Yeah, yeah, once, like, they got hot, that was pretty much that was.
And the
deal.
Missed travel call too. I feel like we've been really complaining about the refs a lot lately. That one was really bad. That missed travel, and you can't even challenge it, right? So Spo's on the sideline, like, doing the motion, and we all knew it was a travel. They can't review it. They can't do shit. So if that call goes the other way, all of a sudden, I guess we don't feel great, right? Hangover Time's a little different that night, but, like, they're still winning. You know what I mean? So it's stuff.
Yeah, like, how different do we feel about this game if they won by three?
Alf, right? You remember the big three, how fucking shitty they were at late game offense? It was game.
I tell you, I'm really, really not worried. And I'm the kind of person who, during a win streak, we were doing it last year. Like, and we were sitting here telling you, don't get fooled.
Alf, I'm the party pooper. I always shit on them.
That was a bad team on win streak. Sometimes you're watching them because, and I'm telling you, I know I'm not the big numbers guy, and maybe I'm being simplistic about this, but I look at point differential is huge to me.
It is.
If you like, there are teams with negative point differentials that are like one game behind the Heat. Like, I'm not really worried about the motherfuckers. Like, you don't win games by a lot, but when you lose, you get blown the fuck out. Like, that was the Heat last year. They kept pulling little wins out the ass like the Wizards just did. Like, I would have been livid as a Wizard. If we were the hangover time for the Wizards, I'd be like, that's a bullshit-ass win. Don't get fooled by that horse shit. Like,
that's what we were doing.
Yeah. We're going to sit here. If I'm a Wizards fan, I'm like, oh, shit. We had to rely on Dinwiddie and KCP3s to pull out a game. We were getting our ass whooped in. Like, I'd be worried. But on the other side of it, I'm watching a team who the Wizards are one of the best teams in the East. They played them twice in a row, and they were significantly better than them. Significantly better.
Well, the reality is, and we haven't really talked about it, but like if we're clicking on all cylinders, like we're hoping soon rather than later. They're easily the best team in the East.
Easily.
But the problem is, we're waiting. So as long as we're waiting and we keep pulling out wins, I don't care if it's by one or by 10. You just gotta beat the teams that are in front of you, however you need to do it.
They better win these fucking games before that.
Well, listen, but here's the thing. Saturday, you're gonna see what everybody's made of. You're gonna see what every guard on this team is made of Saturday. Because guess what?
It's gonna feel like a playoff game,
and they're gonna hunt the hell out of our guys. And guess what? If you're Tyler, you get hunted. You know what to do on the other end. That's it.
Because I don't know. I mean, how are they gonna deal with Jimmy?
Who's gonna deal with Jimmy?
The Bulls.
They put Lonzo on.
They don't have. But that's the thing. They don't have to. The problem is they're gonna be running waves of guards at us. How are our guards gonna be able to stand up?
You gotta punch back. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
I'm not worried about Miami's defensively.
I'm not worried about their defense. They'll figure that shit out.
Yeah. And Chicago.
They don't have Vucevic is still out.
Yeah, but I'm not taking him into account.
About the fact that now you have Bam, who's a little bit of a roamer. More than he would be if Vucevic was in there. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm not as worried about the Heat. I don't know. I think it's going to be a really good game. I really like the Bulls.
Like, yeah, I want to see what Tyler and Kyle and Duncan do. Like, we keep saying we're waiting for this streak to bust and for them to be shooting. Guess what? Like, these two games before Saturday, that's the warm-up.
Yeah, they got
to
win.
They need to get those two.
They haven't won in Minnesota since Jimmy got here. So they got to change that. The Bulls.
They won four out of their last five?
The Timberwolves?
No, the Heat.
Oh, yeah. They were on a four-game win streak before that. Yeah. So, I mean, they'll be good. And they're 500 on the road. This is a get well road trip for them.
Yeah.
Before that Bulls game.
And remember those? Honestly, that Denver, the two LA games. I don't count none of that shit.
The Denver game, fine. Whatever.
I don't count any of them.
They lost a game at Denver, like everybody in the fucking league does. The Laker game, they lost in overtime without their MVP candidate. And then the Clipper game went down to the wire without their MVP candidate. So it's
one of them was which one was with Bam was in foul trouble in the first quarter.
All of them.
That
happened in the Wizards game too. Shit, my guys, he's a little Hassan in him lately. Not his fault. I'm kidding. I would never say that about Bam. By the way, the Bulls, 20 of them rebounding. Miami has the Weird Al pregame show previewing the Bulls, but Miami just has so many advantages. And like the Chicago is small. Like you look, and it's more to say like you look down the teams in the East. You know, obviously Brooklyn's going to be there at the end. Miami went into that building and kicked their fucking ass, right? Even last year, that Miami would not struggle with Brooklyn as much as other teams. Chicago, I don't know how we really feel about that. I don't think anybody watched either of those Wizards games and thinks, yeah, Washington's on the same level as Miami.
No.
I know that they're one, but like nobody thinks that. And then what? That leaves whatever the fuck's going on in Milwaukee. I mean, I don't know when we're supposed to start taking that seriously. Middleton's been back.
Well, yeah, you can't take them seriously until like they get everybody back. So that's
so they have Drew wrong. Middleton see, and Giannis
why,
back.
Why, I see that. I'm sorry. Why are they the only team afforded that shit?
Because they won the title, but the Heat wouldn't have been afforded that. Yeah,
well, here's the difference.
Bubble title.
They're afforded it because, like, we know that you're nothing until you have all your players. Like, it's gonna. We know that, but everybody else in the media and this and that. So there's a different story to it. But like, realistically, if we had Jimmy out and somebody else out, then it's like, we don't know what we got until we get everybody healthy. We don't know what the Bucks have.
The Bucks have.
We know they got Giannis.
They don't have Brooke Lopez, and yeah. Everyone's like giving him all these excuses. It's motherfucking Brooke Lopez. Like I know.
He's no, good. Well,
I know he's an anchor.
He wasn't
their
the
defense.
Only. They had four for forever. No,
now,
they had
I'll
like four.
Now. I'll say
now. Oh, now
they're
okay.
Still losing.
They won three in a row, but still.
But I mean, okay. But even when they had – there was games they had Middleton, Drew, and Giannis. They lose, and it was like, oh, they're not healthy because they're missing Vincenzo and Brooke Lopez. Like, nobody else gets that. Nobody else gets
– I tried to tell y'all about Bobby Portis. Nobody wanted to listen to me.
Nobody's talking about Brooklyn missing Kyrie.
They really – they really – Bobby well, – yeah. Not anymore.
Right. Not anymore. That's done. I think nobody talked about him at all.
Yeah, we were in reruns. Shit. Well, Canada declared that you can't come in unvaccinated, so that crosses exactly. Another team off. You know, the Kyrie to the Raptors dream is dead.
I honestly think if this team, and I'm not even talking about what happens when Vic comes back, but if these players that we have right now that are playing, if they're all clicking, they're easy the best team in the East. Like, I literally sat there and watched them manhandle James Harden and Kevin Durant.
The Hornets are beating the Wizards right now. That's funny. And the Cavs are beating the Nets.
Listen, the Cavs are scrappy.
Imagine doing hangover time for the Brooklyn Nets and the fucking the Colin Sexton-less Cavs are giving you the work.
That's because...
That's a rough show. That's a hard 10.
That's a hard 10. Because
Garland showed up. Listen, I was at the stadium and I was like, damn, ain't no Brooklyn fans in here? And then
everybody's
they came walking
it's,
in.
It's bad, Tiff. I didn't know oh, you said that.
It's bad out there in those parts.
Oh, man.
The gentrificationers came in. And they had like their own like sushi they brought with them. I was like, these ain't real fans. Y'all got chopsticks and shit. These ain't fans.
They got artisan mayonnaise.
Yes,
they did. Aioli.
And Crocs. Aioli and Crocs.
Aioli and Crocs. The true size of gentrification.